Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has come under criticism recently for implementing the Trump administration's policy of separating parents from their kids when they cross the border illegally. There's also the issue of whether cities or states cooperate with the agency. ICE was created in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. To get a sense of where the agency has been, where it is, and where it may be going, I'm joined via Skype by Marjorie Zatz, a sociology professor at the University of California, Merced. And Marjorie, how different is ICE in practice now than how it was envisioned in the early 2000s?
So I think that it may be helpful to think about the history of ICE. As it started as the Immigration and Naturalization Services, initially in the Department of Labor and then the Department of Justice until 2001. When it was in the Department of Justice, it was all of the immigration elements together. So what have now been separated out into ICE, Customs and Border Patrol, and Customs and Immigration Services had all been together. When they were in the Department of Justice, they were overseen, supervised by lawyers. And because they were in the Department of Justice, there was always attention to due process and equal protection and the rule of law. After 9/11, the Office of Homeland Security was created by George W. Bush. And a year later, after passage of the Homeland Security Act, what had been INS was transferred, all immigration authority was transferred to the newly formed Department of Homeland Security. And its mandate was law enforcement.
So do you think it's significant then that ICE, or the agency that does these kinds of jobs, is under the Department of Homeland Security as opposed to, as you referenced earlier, the Justice Department or even the Labor Department before that?
Yes, it makes a real difference in terms of how they come to think about their work. Their whole focus is enforcement, as opposed to what do we do about immigration and immigrants and managing that process. When it began, you know, this was right after a terrorist attack, and so the focus was on how do we keep the homeland safe and secure. That's very different, I think, from the situation now where ICE spends most of its effort dealing with people who have come into the country without permission, but who either have not committed any criminal offenses, or if they have, most of the people we're deporting have had very, very low level, typically drug offenses.
I'm wondering how you feel that shifting priorities in different administrations affects the way that ICE both thinks about its job and carries out its job. I mean, the goals of President George W. Bush were different than the goals of President Obama, which are different than the goals of President Trump. And yet, in many ways, you have many of the same people doing the same job. So I'm wondering how these shifting priorities affects how ICE does what it does.
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing is that under ICE, there's always been an enforcement mission and mandate. That's its reason for existence. But the way that it does that has changed some. So prosecutorial discretion, for instance, has always been important to the way that immigration law is carried out. The current forms of prosecutorial discretion really date back to at least 1976, when under INS, when it said it is in the interest of INS enforcement to have prosecutorial discretion. We cannot prosecute every single case. So how do we decide which ones matter? Each administration has looked at it in terms of what are their priorities. From 1976, really up through the Obama administration, there were a lot of similarities in how those prosecutorial discretion memos looked as they tried to balance public safety and the rule of law on the one hand with family unity and best interests of humanitarian concerns on the other hand. But the very flexibility of discretion also makes it very controversial.
Based on where ICE has been and where it is now, do you have a gut feeling of where this particular agency might be going in the near term?
They have gotten so many more resources since they were established. I think they're growing increasingly powerful. So, just to give you some sense of comparison, when I look back at some data, in fiscal year 2012, I spent about 15 times what INS had spent on immigration enforcement in 1986. They also are connected in interesting ways with the whole private prison business. And so Congress mandates, for instance, that 34,000 beds should be filled each day in immigration detention. And that's what gets you to about 400,000 deportations a year, which is what the Obama administration was doing. As we've been reducing some of the mass incarceration in this country, the private prisons have turned to immigration detention as a source of revenue. So, I think that if we look at the resources available for immigration detention and the money that goes to ICE and Border Patrol, both the person power and the technology, it's a massive ramp up. And when you're putting that much money and that many resources into it, you're going to be picking up more and more people.
That's Marjorie Zatz. She's a sociology professor at the University of California, Merced. Marjorie, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.